Think about the tide of the ocean. The tide goes out and the tide comes in. And in the same way, there are times when the level of spiritual life among God's people rises, and there are times when the level of spiritual life among God's people goes into decline.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad you've joined us today. And Colin, I'm going to guess that all of us, if we have been walking with Christ for any length of time, can kind of relate to that, those times where we feel like our spiritual life is strong and vibrant, and other times we kind of feel like we're in a bit of a decline.
Yeah, I think that that's part of the reality of human experience, and it's part of the reality of Christian experience as well. The good news, when we feel like we're in a bit of a slump, is that a new beginning really is possible. And that's what we're looking at in the scriptures today. We're looking at a time where God's Holy Spirit stirred the hearts of his people in a new way. And that's a great theme for us at the beginning of this new year. And a great prayer for us that God would stir us in a new way, that by his Spirit, he would bring us a new level of spiritual life, and that he would lead us forward to accomplish great things within his purposes. We're looking at this together from the book of Ezra. It's a wonderful story from the Old Testament that I think speaks right into our lives today.
All right, so let's head to the book of Ezra, chapter 1, the first 11 verses, as we start this message called A New Beginning. Here is Pastor Colin.
Please open your Bible at the passage that has been read for us in the book of Ezra. I realize that this may be a part of the Bible that is less familiar for some of us, but I believe that it speaks very directly in multiple ways to each and every one of us today. I want simply this morning to tell the story for us to be oriented towards this part of the Bible, and you will be able to make the connections. God's people in the Old Testament were brought into the Promised Land, and God blessed them there, especially during the reign of David and during the reign of his son, King Solomon. But after that, there was a long period of spiritual decline that lasted for about 400 years. God's people kept worshiping other gods. They committed all kinds of great evils. And despite some short-lived periods of reformation, they refused to return to the Lord. And so God gave them into the hands of their enemies. The armies of the king of Babylon came and laid siege to Jerusalem. Some grueling months followed, and in the end, the city fell. At that time, many, many people died. A few escaped, but the vast majority of them were relocated. They were deported. They were resettled in Babylon. And some of the Psalms were written during that time. You may know Psalm 137, for example, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. So here are God's people, and they're away from the place in which they had known the joy of worshiping God together. They wish that they could get back. They're not able to get back, and they're weeping. And they say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, this exile, as it was known, lasted for 70 years. 70 years. But no earthly kingdom lasts forever, and the kingdom of Babylon went into decline. The last of the Babylonian kings was a king by the name of Belshazzar, and he reigned over this vast Babylonian kingdom, but he was a man who lacked self-discipline. He was self-indulgent, and he had absolutely no place for the living God in his life whatsoever. And some of you may remember the story of Belshazzar that's told in the book of Daniel and chapter 5. One night, this king held a drunken party, and he called for the sacred cups that had been dedicated to the service of God in his temple to be brought out for this party so that he could drink from the cups that had been dedicated to the service of the living God. It was an act of absolute defiance towards the living God. I'm Belshazzar, and I can do anything that I like, and even God himself cannot stop me. Except that God did stop him. That night, as Belshazzar was eating and drinking, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote in the plaster on the wall of the palace. Belshazzar was absolutely terrified. The Bible says that the color drained from his face and that his knees were knocking. The party stopped. No more music. And they called for Daniel, who had been known in earlier years to be able to interpret dreams. What did this strange writing that was engraved in the plaster on the wall mean? And Daniel was a man of great courage. He said to Belshazzar, "The God who gives you breath, you have not honored." Belshazzar, this finger writing in the plaster on the wall is the finger of God speaking to you. And the words that were written were many, many tekel parson. And Daniel interpreted these words. Many, God has numbered your days. And that's repeated twice. God has numbered your days. Tekel. You have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. Parson, your kingdom is, present tense, divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. And on that very night, the night of the drunken party, when the finger wrote on the plaster of the wall of the palace, on that very night, the army of a new king stole into Babylon, and that was the end for Belshazzar. He died that night, the night of the drunken party. And in the months that followed, this great and vast kingdom of the Babylonians became, very quickly, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And the new king, whose army entered Babylon that night, the night of the party, the new king was a Persian king by the name of Cyrus, and the book of Ezra that we're looking at today begins in the very first year of his reign. Now, I want us to get the sense of the story that we're embarking on today, and it is, first of all, the book of Ezra, a story of a new beginning after a long period of disruption. Notice the very first verse. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing. Now, to be clear, Cyrus was a long way from being a believer. He clearly knew about the Lord. If you look in verse 2, you'll see that he refers to the Lord by name. But like many in his time, his idea seems to have been that different gods exercised authority in different regions of the world. And you see that, for example, in verse 3, where he refers to the Lord as the God who is in Jerusalem. So this man had certainly heard the name of the Lord. He certainly didn't know the living God who created the heavens and the earth. But here's the encouragement for us today. We're told that God stirred this man's heart, and what that means is that God can stir the hearts of those who don't know him as well as the hearts of those who do. And that is a wonderful encouragement. If you're praying for someone who doesn't know the Lord, who perhaps has been resistant to the Lord for years and years, God can stir the hearts of those who don't know him as well as those who do. And here we're told very clearly in verse 1 that God stirred the heart of Cyrus to make this proclamation. Verse 3, "Whoever is among you of all his people. May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord. Now, this was an extraordinary change in social policy in the world of that time. The Babylonian kings had done everything that they could to repress the distinctive faiths of the people that they conquered. This was why they relocated them. Let's get them away from the place that they go to worship. Let's put them in another place. And you remember the story of Daniel, how he and his young friends were taken to Babylon. And then they were taught the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The attempt, you see, was to erase the distinctiveness of their faith. And the idea of the Babylonians was that if you could weaken the faith, the distinctive faith of these various peoples, then that would bring greater cohesion and therefore social stability to the empire and to the kingdom. And the problem, of course, with that is that it simply didn't work. I mean, you know that this is a reality, that if you try and repress the faith of believing people, all that happens is that their faith gets stronger. It's more resurgent. And that's exactly what happens. You have Daniel with all of his courage, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. These are people who would rather die than deny the God who they love and the God who they worship. So what the Babylonians did in attempt to weaken faith actually only strengthened it and made it more resilient. Now, when Cyrus comes to power, you have a new king with a new policy, and he doesn't waste any time in implementing it. The very first year, we're told, at the beginning of verse 1 of King Cyrus, he is stirred by God to make this proclamation. Cyrus chose the opposite path from the Babylonians. He realized that what they had attempted simply didn't work. And so instead of relocating people to other areas, what he said was, if you want to go back home, you're welcome to do so. In fact, we'll encourage you to do that. If you want to go back and rebuild the temple of your God and to practice your very distinctive faith, we'll give you every encouragement to go after that and do so. And Cyrus believed that this was the way to have greater social cohesion and therefore to have greater stability in the kingdom. Now, please understand then, this is a change of breathtaking proportions. God's people have lived under the Babylonian regime for 70 years. The ones who had been in Babylon for the shortest period of time had been there for 50 years, and many had been there for a longer period of time. And now suddenly, almost overnight, everything changes. There's a new policy, and they're being actively encouraged to return to Jerusalem. So the book of Ezra then is the story of a new beginning after a long period of disruption.
Well, we do have to pause right here, but we're just getting started in our message called A New Beginning, the first in our series called Return. I know the book of Ezra is one that we may not spend a lot of time in. You may wonder, where does that fit in the entire storyline of the Bible? Hey, we want to help you get a better understanding of the Bible story. So on the website, when you come to openthebible.org, you'll see a link there called Open the Bible Story, and you'll find three paths or journeys that will take you from Genesis to Revelation. I hope you'll check it out. Come to openthebible.org and click on Open the Bible Story. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
The book of Ezra, then, is the story of a new beginning after a long period of disruption. Secondly, it is a story that speaks to us today because it is a story about a new passion after a long period of discouragement. Look at verse 5, if you would. Then, after the proclamation, rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred, to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. Now, in this series, we're going to follow the story of those who returned to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. But behind that, there is a deeper story that I also want us to follow. It's the story about the rising and the falling of the level of spiritual life among God's people. Think about the tide of the ocean. The tide goes out and the tide comes in. It's either falling or it's rising. One or the other. And in the same way, there are times when the level of spiritual life among God's people rises, and there are times when the level of spiritual life among God's people goes into decline. There are times when God seems to be near, times when he seems to be far away. There are times where the blessing of God is just absolutely obvious, and there are other times when we can hardly figure out what it is that the Lord is doing. Now, you see this rising and falling of spiritual life among God's people in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me give you two examples from the Old Testament and two from the New. From the Old Testament, Psalm 85, which must often have been on the minds of the exiles during these years in Babylon. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Here are people who are wanting a greater blessing from God. Oh God, we need to be restored. We need to be revived. We've lost the joy that once we had. We need to get it back again. Will you do a new work in us and among us? You have a similar kind of desire for a greater level of spiritual life in Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Here are God's people, and they just long for a greater awareness of the presence of God among them. Why? To make your name known even to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Let your presence among us, God, be so evident that even those who don't believe would not be able to deny the reality of it. And so here you have this great longing. We're looking for a greater level of spiritual life, O God, a greater awareness of your presence among us. And you find the same rising and falling of spiritual life in the New Testament. Again, let me give you briefly a couple of examples. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, the apostle writes to Christian believers, and he says this: the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Now, what is that saying? Very clearly, here are Christian believers, and they've become lethargic. They've become sleepy. They've lost energy. And the apostle says, it's time to wake up. And you have the same language in the book of Revelation from the risen Lord Jesus himself, speaking to his church. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. And if you don't wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. So the point I'm trying to establish from both the Old Testament and the New Testament is that the level of spiritual life among God's people is like the tide of the ocean. It comes in, it goes out. It goes out, it comes in, but it's always either rising or else it is falling. Now, you don't need me to say again that these are difficult days for God's people. We're all very, very aware of that. But let me put it this way. These are days, surely, when we need a fresh infusion of spiritual life. Let me read a quote to you from Professor Robert Coleman, who used to teach at Trinity. It was very striking to me reading it just this week. He says this, quote, "For many good people, even within the church, life has lost its meaning. There is no sparkle in the eye, no spring in the step, and as the religious community flounders in mediocrity, the world plunges deeper into sin." I wonder if you relate to that. Long period of discouragement, and there's no sparkle in the eye. There's no spring in the step. We get more and more tired and jaded, and our walk with God slides into mediocrity while the world plunges deeper and deeper into sin. That's how it was in Babylon. And what you have in Ezra and chapter 1 is what we desperately need today, a spiritual awakening. God stirred the hearts of his people. There was a fresh outpouring of faith and of joy and of love and of hope, a fresh infusion of energy, a recovery of a sense of calling and a sense of purpose. What we have in the book of Ezra, and why it speaks so directly to us today, is nothing less than a spiritual movement in which God stirred the hearts of his people. And when the hearts of God's people were stirred, there was a new passion that was birthed within them, a new love, a new joy, a new energy, and a new sense of purpose. So this is the book that we're looking at. It speaks to us in multiple ways. It is the story of a new beginning after a long period of disruption. It is the story of a new passion as God stirred the hearts of his people after a long period of discouragement. And it is the story of a new challenge after a long period of stability.
We'll continue that story on our next broadcast. So I do hope you make it a point to tune in. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. The message is called A New Beginning, and it's the first in our series simply called Return. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find that at your app store. Or you can order a copy of the series Return on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit the website openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and as you give a gift of support this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book written by Bible scholar Alec Motier. It's called Psalms by the Day, and Colin, this book takes you all the way through the book of Psalms, written in a daily devotional format, but what makes this book so special?
Oh, without question that it was written by Alec Motier. And I know a lot of folks listening to the program won't know that name. But you know, when I was a teenager, I used to listen to old cassette tapes of Alec Motier opening up the scriptures. I used to sit with a typewriter, and I've still got notes that I made from all those years ago. And he has been a lifelong guide through the scriptures for me. I buy anything that was published by Alec Motier. He's with the Lord now, but he was a godly, wonderful, wonderful scholar and preacher. And this book on the Psalms that takes you through the Psalms, you can read one a day. He gives his own translation of the Psalms that just brings out some fresh meaning. He comments on words and applies them, and some of his devotional thoughts, just the applications that he makes from the Psalms, are just wonderful. Anytime I'm speaking on the Psalms, I go to Alec Motier as one of the sources, and I find invariably that he gives the most wonderful help. So this is a great resource. It's something that's very rich in my life, and it's just a joy to me that we're able to share it with others.
Again, it's called Psalms by the Day, written by Alec Motier. Our thank you gift to you is you give a financial gift of support of any amount this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Did you leave the church expecting to come back at some point, but you never did? Find out why it matters next time on Open the Bible.